This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Welcome, everybody. It's Bob, Groz, and Tom, the show of record underway. We've got good stuff happening today. It is Tuesday, which means El Hombre joins us at the top of the hour, so you want to stay tuned for that. We'll hopefully catch up with a member of this Mariners team that continues to find ways to win sometime in the 2 o'clock hour, so stick around for that as well. But another solid outing from Wade LeBlanc, something you would expect from him. He's not, again, you have to keep in mind, as great as his ERA has been and what he's done, he's not a shutdown guy. He's not a guy who's out there throwing shutouts. He gave you what you've come to expect. 5-6 innings, a couple of runs, keeps you in the game, got himself out of a big jam after getting off to a rough start, giving up back-to-back home runs to Trout and Pujols. Shut it down.
That's what a lot of pitchers in the past have done, though. A lot of guys have given up back-to-back home runs to people like Trout and Pujols. So.
Well, Trout seems to hit home runs off everybody. So
yeah.
Especially at Safeco Field.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm as much as I appreciate him as a baseball fan, I'm kind of tired of him. He just, in his second one, he just mashed. I mean,
happy to see him.
That was ridiculous.
Remain in the batter's circle in the ninth last night.
Yeah.
What do you mean? After he hit himself?
No, he was. No. He was. If anyone got on base, he was.
He was
sitting in the on deck circle.
Right.
They estimated his second home run at 459 feet, which I think he may have been cheated a little bit.
That bounced hard off the batter's eye.
It hit it with some steam. So,
but the Mariners' way of winning last night was the long ball themselves.
Yeah. How about my boy Nelson Cruz? He has found his stroke.
Speaking of hard hit balls.
Yeah, both to dead center.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Has there ever been a Mariner, and I guess I'll leave Griffey out of it, but he may not even hit the ball as hard as Cruz. Has there ever been a Mariner who's hit the ball as hard as him?
Maybe not. Sexton hit some balls pretty hard.
Buehner hit it pretty hard.
Man.
Hard to imagine somebody hitting it harder than he does on a consistent basis. He just... Even though he never thinks he got all of it. You know, that's his thing.
He still does say that, though.
After every game they talk to him, I didn't quite get all of it. But he squares it up, and he is so powerful.
And he's hot.
He's red hot, yeah.
I mean, it's remember I heard him say this on the broadcast last night when he was fifth in the team in homers, like last week,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Now he's hit, what, 8 in his last 8 games mm-hmm. or 9 games or something like that?
Now he's got 15.
Leading the pack, is he not?
Yeah, he's on pace to be over 30 home runs again. I think before the season we talked about if a decline were coming, what would be acceptable? Over 30 is still going to be great.
You bet it is.
He doesn't have to get to 40 every single year. He's probably going to end up with, what, 35?
Well, considering he's been injured, too, if he stays healthy, maybe he will get to 40.
Maybe.
For the entire month of May, of which he missed 4 games. And he was dinged up, so keep that in mind. But he hit 5 home runs in the month of May, hit .225. So far in June, he's hit 5 home runs. He's hitting .324 with a .452 on base percentage. So he has definitely regained his stroke. He looks good up at the plate after the ankle injury, after slipping down the stairs, and he's been plunked 10 times leading baseball. I mean, he's had a hard time staying healthy, but he's clearly healthy now, and you need him. We've talked about guys taking turns getting hot.
What's he been 10 times again, Bob?
Plunked,
okay.
Plunked, hit. Yeah, he's a magnet.
You know, we're going to talk about all-star balloting a little bit later in the show, but I saw some of the vote tallies this morning. For designated hitter, Evan Gattis is like third or fourth. Nelson Cruz isn't even on, not that he's not on the ballot, he's on the ballot, but he isn't on the top 5 vote tally. How is that possible?
Because he's kind of come out of nowhere.
Who?
This year, Cruz was. If you're looking at stats for this year, his stats aren't great for this year. They just got good.
So Gattis aren't good either. They're worse.
But yeah. Bob just gave you the reason why.
Why? Because it's the Astros.
Because it's the Astros, the World Series champs. Mm. When has the All-Star Game voting been anything but a popularity contest?
It never has. I wish people were better about it. That's all.
Yeah, Gattis hitting a robust .233 with a .296 on base percentage right now. He's got 10 home runs.
Yeah, I don't mind people getting in on reputation, but Gattis doesn't have that reputation. Cruz
well, you
does.
Said he's fourth, right?
So I don't know. He was top 5 anyway.
Okay,
so yeah,
and he's hitting .222.
Well, if he doesn't win, he's not getting in.
Who, Gattis?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know who the other ones were. Otani was on there too, but obviously he's not going to get on there.
Otani was on there for DH.
Yeah,
voting for him for DH.
Yeah, I forget who the top one was. Forgive me, but not that I think
probably
Cruz
JD
is,
Martinez.
He was. It was JD Martinez.
Who's deserving?
He's definitely deserving. And he's a. I wouldn't call him a superstar, but he's a known player.
He's having a superstar
with a reputation.
Year.
He definitely would deserve that
on the team with the best record.
Yeah, Cruz isn't having a tear it up, have to get him into the All Star game type year.
Yes. He's having that type of month.
You're right.
He might. If he keeps doing this, though, your opinion changes.
If he keeps doing that, combined with his name reputation, sure, absolutely.
I mean, where are we? June the 12th, and the All Star game is the 9th of July. Does that sound right to you guys? Roughly
somewhere in there. Yeah.
So it's roughly a month to go. Considering the damage he's done already?
In half a month.
You could hit 10 more home runs between now and then. That'd be at 25.
Well, I expect two a game now. So I don't know how many games they have the rest of the month.
They need to be dead center?
They need to leave with a 114 exit velocity. We can talk about the trajectory, all that good stuff. But, yeah, two a game I think is a fair expectation.
Let's never talk about the trajectory, okay?
Nelson Cruz is the only one who I'm interested in with the exit velocity. Now that I know roughly how hard he hits the ball in terms of what number is.
Flowers is maybe more interested in ones that aren't homers.
Yeah, like the line drive singles.
The line drive singles, one bounce off the wall, yeah. Those seem to have more of that exit velocity to them.
I suppose.
When he's hitting line drive, I mean, it takes courage to get in front of one of those.
But he's the only player who really does that. On the Mariners.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of guys where you're like, all right, if I'm a third baseman, I really want to be playing in short left field.
Right.
You know? He's definitely one of them.
He is one of them. He's a masher, and it's good to have him rolling the way that he is because you need him. You need him. You've got other guys. Now you've got D. Gordon, who's kind of gone into the tank so far since he's come back. He's not producing the way you'd seen him do through the majority of the season to start. So these guys have taken turns. I mean, Gordon goes 0-for-4 last night. His average is down to .275 with an on base of .296. So he's definitely scuffling. Gene Segura, three more hits last night. He's hitting
really
.343. Hitting .343.
Hey, but, speaking of Gordon, should we go into this Gordon Cano thing right now?
Let me ask you guys a question. Why you're talking about what Jerry DePoto said, right?
Yeah.
Why did he say it?
He was asked.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a much better answer that, like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I mean, why would you even make that? I mean, I don't have anything against it. I just thought me and Clayton talked about, the thing I was most surprised about is that he said it.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, it's August.
And not that anybody's going to hold it to it.
May not even be a decision at that point.
Yeah, what's the point?
Yeah, I didn't understand it.
Do you think it creates negativity?
If I'm Robinson Cano, I'm not a happy guy.
Well, Robinson Cano's in no position to share his happiness or unhappiness.
He may not be in any position to, but it doesn't mean he's not going to.
Well, again, you tested dirty, whether it was intentional or unintentional. You're out for 80 games. You've lost footing. You've lost ground to stand on.
But where are they going to put
him? It doesn't change the way you feel.
And again, let's just be clear on what DePoto told. This came from Jerry Krasnick of ESPN.com. He said that when Cano comes back, at some point, that job is D. Gordon's, but they may do a little bit of both.
Well, because he can't play postseason.
Exactly.
Obviously. So he's going to be your postseason second baseman.
Exactly. So, but where does Cano go? You want that bat in the lineup if he's available.
Yeah. You want him to help you get to the postseason. You're talking about if he's not your best hitter, he's one of your best hitters. So he can help you get there. He's scored half a run less
since he's been gone, even though you're winning.
Yeah, he can help you get there. So for the people who are saying, don't put him in there, make him sit, he's going to screw everything up, they're better without him. This is not a better team because he's gone. They're finding ways to win, and they're on a great run, but it's not because, oh, now that Robinson's gone, we can finally live up to our potential. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
So he's a guy who can help you win. You're going to find a spot. He's not going to be a part-time player, so when he's not playing second, he's going to play first, I would imagine, and he'll DH. So he'll be the guy that spells these guys, and you're not going to put D in the outfield for a month and a half. And then if hopefully you make it to the playoffs, go, all right, back to second base you go.
Let me ask you guys another question. Isn't that a manager's decision?
No.
It's the general manager's decision as to who plays and who doesn't play.
It is these days, unfortunately. It used to be the manager's decision.
I'm sure they make that in conjunction.
It's organizational.
I think they do it together. I don't think it's just Jerry going, hey, Scott, by the way, here's how this is going to go. I think they're talking. I think they're, all right, listen, here's what we're facing. Here's what we're looking at. Let's talk about the possible scenarios here. I think they get together and work as a team. I don't think Jerry's dictating to Scott.
I don't know about that, man. I really don't.
I don't think there's any way he's just making a decision and saying, Scott, here's what I've decided, live with it.
He could if he wanted to, though.
I suppose he could. I don't think he doesn't strike me as that type of guy. They seem to work in conjunction with each other.
I agree with that.
I don't think he would do that.
And I think that they'll probably be on the same page. But
perhaps someone will ask Scott Service today at his daily availability at 2:20 or whenever it is. And we'll hear about it on Danny, Dave, and More afterwards.
How much of this decision is your decision?
Or what did you think of what Jerry said about Robinson Cano?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he'll say, yeah, we talked about it, and we think that's the best way to go, like Bob suggested. Or maybe he'll be, I have no comment on that, which would buttress what you were saying. I just thought it was a surprising thing to say, because there's no point in tipping your hand at this point in time.
I agree. More and more, I think that organizations are dictating what's being done on the field with players. Look at what happened with the Yankees. Joe Girardi wanted control. They weren't going to give it to him. They brought in a guy in Aaron Boone. They just wanted to go another direction. Young core of players, they wanted to get the right start. I think Service and DePoto are, like you said, Bob, they're definitely linked and they're working in conjunction, but Service is on the same page with what they want to do. I don't think that Service would try to overrule what Jerry DePoto wants to do with these guys.
Yeah, I just don't think Jerry's dictating anything without talking to him. I don't think he's asking his permission. I think he's respecting him as the manager of the team. You got to manage these guys. Here's what I'm thinking.
Is the guy who hired him, too, so there's reason to think that they are simpatico on things. It'd be different if it's not your manager.
Right.
Then you could see it maybe being more along the lines of what you're saying, where he might be unilaterally deciding things. But when you've hired your manager, I mean, you're dancing with him.
Does your head go to that scene in Moneyball, or those multiple scenes in Moneyball where Billy Bean keeps telling Art Howe to start? He wants him to start Hatterberg.
Right.
But Carlos Pena was the guy that they really thought was, I mean.
And finally he trades him. I mean, it's not that dramatic, but I mean, there's the difference in inheriting a manager versus having your guy.
Right.
Who in theory thinks the way you do anyway.
Yeah. Look, we're not talking about a day-to-day decision. You know, will Gamble start today or will he come off the bench? We're talking about something that's going to affect this team in a significant way.
Well, we'll see what the roster looks like in August. We'll see who's
standing
and who's
hurt.
Not standing.
I mean, who knows? It just takes care of itself. Playing it forward, if everybody's healthy and producing, it creates a dilemma because you don't want to disrupt anybody who's hot, but you also want to find a spot for this bat in your order.
Do you want Cano at first base, by the way, defensively?
I can't believe he'd be a bad
I don't think he'd be a bad first
baseman.
I think he's just a baseball
player.
Has he ever done it, though?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
Is he doing it right now, maybe? Is he taking ground balls?
I don't know if he's healed.
Well, if he's healed, but that might be I bet he does. I bet you're going to have him at every option you can possibly have him at. But who knows? I mean, if Segura's injured, he might be playing shortstop.
In this article, Cano's experience outside second base is minimal. He's appeared in 1,995 career games at second and 48 as a DH. He played one game at shortstop with the Yankees in 2013. He has never played first base,
good defensive player.
Yeah, I've got no fear of him being a butcher at first base.
And I don't think I'd want to see him in center field.
No.
Really?
Because
of
his wheels.
Yeah.
He doesn't have good wheels or in the outfield. But, I mean, Segura could be hurt by then. You know, it may be perfect. He may step in and play shortstop for a couple of weeks.
What do you mean Segura's going to be hurt?
Could be hurt. I'm saying that by the time August rolls around and Cano is available to play,
he'll be worn out from so many hits.
The scenario may take care of itself. Ryan Healy may be hurt, so he may play him at first base. Cruz may be injured, maybe playing him at DH. It may time out perfectly.
That would be convenient if Cruz were actually hurt, but I don't want his bat out of the lineup.
Of course not. No, you don't want any of them out.
And people are saying, why would you say he'd take Cruz's spot at the expense of Cruz's bat? He's not going to do that.
I'm saying he's going to
be a spot guy. So if you want to, Cruz isn't going to play every single night. They're going to give him a day off. And in that instance, there's Cano to be that guy to fill the spot.
And remember, this guy was batting third for you and hitting.
Yeah.
And you're not scoring as many runs without him. So it also depends on where they are in the standings. I mean, they could be locked into a playoff spot. They could have a 10-12 game lead in the over any wild card team or in the division for that matter.
In August?
A little more unlikely. Well, they already got a 5-game. Actually, Houston's the wild card right now by half a game. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they got it by 5 games. It's June.
Yeah.
So why is it impossible to think that in August that difference might be double digits?
It isn't, but in August it's still too early, even if it is double digits, to close the book on the season and say they're making the postseason.
No, but it definitely might impact how you're going to play a guy or not. You might say, well, we don't have to worry about this at all. Mm-hmm. We're cruising. we're not going to activate you till September. There are all kinds of other possibilities. Now,
this is uncharted territory. This discussion is, right?
Of course it is.
We really, as Mariner fans, and I can't remember the last time where this happened somewhere else, where a superstar player, a highly paid player, was suspended and then came back and was going to be ineligible for the postseason. And by the way,
I don't believe that's ever happened.
Right. And by the way, cross-reference that with the idea that the guy who's taken his spot at second base has already changed positions twice.
Was a second baseman.
Right, was a second baseman, then was a center fielder, and now is a second baseman again.
It's a unique circumstance.
Agreed.
Right, so yeah. I'm not sure if there's any right or wrong answer.
No, I think they're going to sit there and you know, put the puzzle pieces together every night. All right, how do we get his bat in the lineup? Right? Maybe it's not just first base or DH. Maybe he gives Seager a night off at third base.
Right.
I mean, I don't see him playing an outfield spot, so he's not going to pitch or catch. So you're just looking at the infield spots. Maybe he becomes the utility guy for anybody that needs a night off or is struggling or is dinged up, what have you.
They'll do what they have to do.
I just don't think he becomes a part-time player. I don't think he's like, all right, he's going to play Monday and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday sits. Hey, he's back Friday.
I agree, but Bob, moving him all over the place like that, third base, shortstop, first base, I think you'd like to find one spot for him. First base seems the most likely.
But barring injury, one doesn't currently exist. Barring injury or lack of production, there isn't a spot.
No, there isn't, but...
His spot is second base, but since he can't play in the postseason and you're going to be assuming you're still in the race for the postseason, it creates a completely unique circumstance like you were saying. I mean, I don't know that there's – I agree with Bob. I don't think there's any real resolution to this because of the unique nature of it. And that's probably what you have to sell him on ultimately.
Why is it –
is, look, you're not playing postseason. We have to get ready for the postseason. You're going to help us get there. We want you to help us get there. But it can't be at the expense of guys who are going to be playing in the postseason. It's a tough job.
It is a tough call. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important that D. Gordon plays second base the rest of the year?
Because
he's going to play the postseason, or in August and September.
Because if they do make it to the postseason, he's going to be your second baseman.
Yeah, so, okay, but he can switch right back. He's already shown he can do it.
But you want to go a month and a half of him playing in center field exclusively, and then the playoffs start, and okay, get back to second base.
But that's
base.
What he's already done.
Yeah, I can see. I can actually see Tom's point. I can see that being he's obviously it's not going to be the resolution based on what DePoto said, but I could have certainly seen that being the case because Gordon had no problem switching back to second base.
Yeah, and I get it. Cano hurt the team by getting this suspension. He doesn't deserve to come back and say and start dictating the terms.
Yeah, and here's
it should be Gordon's job. But if they have to move him around a little bit, I get it.
Here's the comment from DePoto on that. He said, as versatile and athletic as D is, it's not that easy to go play center field for a month and a half and then say, oh, by the way, you're going to play second base in the biggest game of your career when you haven't been out there. It's going to take some juggling and we'll have to figure out a way.
I don't understand that. I understand biggest game of your life, the postseason is different than May, but he's already done it a couple of times. I just don't see that as a big deal, switching him back and forth.
It's hard to imagine that your best roster doesn't include Robinson Cano.
I agree. Why not just keep Robinson Cano at second base for August and most of September, and for the last 2 weeks, put Gordon at second base?
I think that makes sense if you've locked up a playoff spot or if you're secure in a playoff spot.
Maybe that's what they'll do. If you're 8-9 games up or you're in it.
Yeah.
Sure.
But you're better off. I mean, we all agree on this. You're better off with Cano in the lineup.
Yeah. I don't want to move Healy out either, by the way. I like the fact that he's in the lineup every day. He's not an all-star type hitter, but I think consistency helps him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not anxious to push him out either.
No, I was just surprised that he gave that answer. I understand he was asked the question. I was just surprised that he gave an answer that was as detailed as that and wasn't like, you know, well, there's a lot that's got to happen before then. We'll get together. We'll talk about it. We'll make a decision when the time is right.
You know what? When you're 18 games over 500, I bet you it gives you the confidence to give a direct answer on a question like that.
Maybe.
When the team's winning and you're winning close games and you're getting contributions from everything seems like it's just working for you, you feel more confident being direct about and honest about that.
Yeah, maybe. That's as good a reason.
See what
as
they
any.
Do. I don't. Yeah. Maybe they've already got it in mind what they're going to do. I'm sure they've got everything planned out. All right, if everybody's hot and healthy, here's what we're going to do.
They've definitely had some conversations about it.
If Healy's struggling, then okay, here's an option. Or if Cruz is hurt or struggling, here's an option. Or
like,
you know,
a draft
board. Yeah, I'm sure they're playing out every scenario. All right, let's pretend. Let's you know, step into the future. Everybody is healthy and they're producing, and we've you know, we're in a nip and tuck battle with whoever, the Angels, for that final wild card, or we're going for the division, whatever it is. Here's what we're going to do with Cano, because what I don't think is going to happen is he's going to be a part-time bat.
Yeah, they're better with him in the lineup. Period.
So that whatever it is, whether it's D goes to the outfield for a couple of weeks, or a month, and he comes back 2 weeks, like you said, okay, maybe that's what they do. I mean, but they're going to find a way to have his bat in the lineup if he's healthy.
Yep.
I agree.
If Seager were hurt, you would want to put Cano at third base?
I'd sure give him a look, unless Segura's played third.
Yeah, maybe they – I'm sure they tinker with any spot in the infield is my thought. Maybe that's completely out of the question. To me, it's – I don't know. Is it that big of a stretch for him to play third base? Maybe it is. Maybe they put him at short.
If it's for a couple of weeks in September or August or whatever, I could see something like that. If it were from here on out – like June through the rest of the season, right. that'd be different.
Yeah.
But for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Well, and it will depend a lot on where they are in the standings.
Yeah.
That will have a big impact on it.
They're probably going to be in a race, though.
I don't know. Who's going to come and get them? If they can, I'm not saying play 800 ball the rest of the way now, but
the Angels are the team that you would expect, right?
The Angels are a possibility, right?
The A's aren't out of it.
The A's aren't out of it, but they're 8 or 9 back already.
I would say the Angels are the likely
team.
There's
no one in the Central. There's no one in the East. There's only the Angels.
Yeah.
Right.
And you got a chance to put them 8 games in your rearview mirror in the next 2 days.
And no Ohtani, by the way. Bust!
Well, although...
Bust!
Although, we were saying yesterday, you don't want to really jump on that because no Cano has been really good for the Mariners. And who would have guessed it?
Yeah.
19-5 without him.
But Ohtani's impact on them was expected to be greater than Cano's impact on the Mariners, just because he could play both ways.
I don't know if they expected that. I think there was the potential
of it.
Well,
he's a part-time DH and a good starting pitcher.
Yeah. And a starting pitcher of that caliber was expected to have a big impact.
He was a unique quality, but I'm just saying that teams don't necessarily go down the tubes when they lose their star. We saw it here.
Mm-hmm. Star pitchers. Well, look.
I mean, Cano is, batting third.
Right.
Having a good year.
Ohtani's,
leader of the team.
Ohtani's not going to have Tommy John, by the way, right?
They haven't confirmed anything. So that was the report that he was going to miss a year and a half.
He's having that platelet treatment that you were undergoing yesterday. Giving you fresh red blood cells.
How'd that work out for you?
He's back.
I'm in just enough of a bad mood to. I'm just sick enough to be in a bad mood, I should say. Bust!
All right. As we said, Michael Bradley coming up at 1 o'clock. Hopefully, we'll catch up with a member of this Mariners team sometime in the 2 o'clock hour. Meanwhile, how hard are fans going to try to get Mariner players into the All-Star game? Talk about that next with Bob Gross and Tom.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
This is Bob Gross and Tom.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It is Bob Gross and Tom. Coming up at the top of the hour, El Hombre, Michael Bradley joins us, so you never want to miss that. That's Radio Gold. And then in about 15 minutes, we'll give you another dazzling edition of Wait a Minute, What? And would you like to see LeBron do another TV special to announce where he's going?
I kind of do.
I think he learned his lesson, but
really?
You never know. Yeah.
I think that kind of kicked off the whole...
That's been the biggest screw-up of his career.
Basketball drive, man. I'm not so sure about that. I think
without question he regrets it.
Oh, I think that fueled the entire NBA offseason becoming a larger-than-life adventure like the NFL has.
Oh, it may have done that, but I'm saying him personally. I think he regrets it. I've read interviews with him. I mean, it couldn't be more poorly received, Tom, than it was.
Well, he handled it very differently the second time around when he went to Cleveland.
Yes,
but he didn't do it.
Now enough time has passed since both of those things where if you want, I'm not saying he's going to do it the same way, but the NBA they have an opportunity to make that into another big event. And I think you're absolutely right, Graz. I think
it's not
that,
up to them.
Huh?
It's not up to them.
It's not up to them.
You don't think
they've
somebody
got no say
might?
In it.
They can't tell what? LeBron what to do.
I know they're not going to tell him what to do, but they might contact him and say, "Hey, if you're thinking about X, Y, or Z, we can get on board and we can, we can turn it into an event."
That's ESPN all. Should be contacting him.
Sure.
Hey, come on, man.
Yeah, you're right. There's nobody stopping, anybody from trying to convince him to do that. All I'm saying is, I think he learned his lesson for the first one. That couldn't have gone worse for him.
How?
You don't remember the ridicule that guy took after that? He was lampooned after that. I'm taking my talents to South Beach. He spurned his hometown city on national TV without having said a word. They didn't know. That's when everybody found out. They were showing scenes from bars in Cleveland packed with fans. People crying.
Yeah, Cleveland fans obviously hated it.
They're burning his jersey. It couldn't have gone worse for him. It was a
Because Cleveland fans were burning his jersey.
Just the way it was handled. It was callous. It was kind of
cheesy. That's why he didn't do it the second time. I mean, I think I agree with Bob that I don't think he felt like it went well. But I stick by what I said, that I think that absolutely was the beginning of the NBA's offseason being as big as and as important as the regular season.
I agree. I think we're in a different NBA than we were in 2010, and I think something like that right now would be embraced.
Oh, I think so. I think no question about it. People would be interested.
Yes. And that said, there's no reason to not do it. I don't think he'll do it the exact same way.
Well, I don't
and he may not say the same thing.
I don't think he's going to do it because you had the chance to do it again and didn't do it. As you pointed out, he very quietly just went to Cleveland. I think that's, you know, he's older now. He's got kids who are nearly teenagers. I don't see him doing the big production value with his buddies that he did before.
Unless he stays, then maybe he does a little thing there in Cleveland.
He could, and there's a good chance he's going to stay.
Could be.
Yeah.
Knicks. Do it.
I know.
Everybody's got him in a Lakers jersey.
Everyone's got him in a Lakers jersey is right.
So we'll talk more about that. Meanwhile, which Mariners deserve? We talked about this a bit yesterday when you were gone, Tom. We talked to Bob Nightingale, and I brought up Segura to him as a guy that should be getting strong consideration as an all-star. I mean, the guy's hitting .343. I know Mookie Betts has got a better average, but he doesn't have the number of at-bats he hasn't been playing. He just came off the list. Here's what Nightingale said about Segura as an all-star.
Yeah, just people not paying attention. I mean, to go from Milwaukee to Arizona, Seattle, you kind of get hidden out there. It's almost like, because everything's, East Coast, is you forget he's even playing. So when he's playing, people are in bed back east. So, no, a fabulous player. And I think it's going to take, like, the All-Star game for people to kind of wake up and see what he's doing.
I couldn't quite understand what he said at the end. Did he say it's going to take him being in the All-Star game for people to know what
sounded
he's doing?
Sounded like, yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Because
he didn't suggest he thinks that he'll get into the All-Star
game. He thinks he should be considered, okay. That people just aren't very aware of him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be considered. It's his misfortune to be playing shortstop in the American League right now.
He's got the second highest average in all of baseball. And again, Mookie Betts hitting .354, but he's been injured, so his number just kind of stayed there. I mean, the guy's ridiculous. Another 3-for-4 night last night. What does he have now? 30 multi-hit games? 29, 30, somewhere in there. I'm not saying he's going to win it. I'm not saying he's going to be a starting all-star. Mm-hmm. But if he's not considered, if the managers aren't looking at him as somebody, hey, this guy's earned a spot.
I think he's going to be strongly considered, but I don't think he's going to be an all-star.
I don't think he gets the fan vote. I don't think all of a sudden
he's definitely not going to get the fan vote. But I mean, you got too many good guys at that position. And guys whose reputations, unfortunately, that counts for All-Star games, is going to precede them.
It's going to be up to the manager.
Like Correa, for example.
It's going to be up to the manager.
Who hadn't committed an error this year, but is not having a particularly great year at the plate. But you've got Machado is having a fantastic year. Lindor is having a fantastic year. Andrelton Simmons, who's hurt right now, also hitting .330, having a terrific year. He's got a lot of good guys.
Do you guys know who Gene Segura was before he came here?
Yeah, because he led the National League in hits the year before.
I know.
So I'd heard his name. I didn't watch him.
I'd heard his name, but I hadn't watched him.
Yeah, I'd seen that he led the league, all that, but I hadn't sat there and watched him and said, wow, I love the way this guy plays.
He didn't increase his profile by coming to Seattle.
No.
Very true.
No, he did not. So he is an unknown commodity to a lot of baseball fans.
Yeah, he's played in three. I mean, he had a year in L.A. where he played one game, but he's played in three really just anonymous places, Milwaukee, yeah. Arizona, and then Seattle.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say that about Seattle, but it's the Mariners.
Well, it's not New York. It's not Philly. It's not Chicago.
Right.
It's not Boston.
It's not even a good baseball market until this year. So, he hasn't been in the postseason. Who knows?
He's got some X factors working against him, despite the fact he's having a really good year.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 91 hits. Only Jose Altuve has got more hits. He's only got two.
I think right now Diaz is the only sure thing for the Mariners.
I agree. I think he's a sure thing.
Paxton could be in that mix, but yeah.
I don't think he's a sure thing, though. And he might be. I mean, if he goes 10-1, it'll be really hard to keep him out.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of good pitchers in the American League.
He's throwing a no-hitter, 16 strikeout game, multiple double-digit strikeout games. He'll be in consideration.
How does it work with the pitchers, though, and closers specifically? Do they?
The manager picks them.
Okay, so there's no voting for the pitchers at all?
I don't recall voting for a pitcher. I don't think you do.
No voting.
Yeah, I think that's the staff.
That's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, Kluber's an all-star. He's 10-2, ERA 1.99. Severino's an all-star. He's 9-2, 2.27. Verlander's an all-star. He's ridiculous. 82, 1.45.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, then you're going to start looking at guys who are going to be their only team's representative. Like Blake Snell could be a guy who fits in that category.
Right.
The kid we saw from Tampa. Houston's got a few other guys who are having really good years. I mean, Garrett Cole is 7-1. Charlie Morton is 7-1. Yeah, a lot of guys having good years in the American League.
But are they going on win-loss, or are they going to go? I mean, I'm sure they'll take it all into consideration. We've talked about how devalued win-losses are with pitchers, especially when you've got the advanced stats.
Look, batting average is not much more valued anymore. Yeah.
I'm looking at his ERA. I'm looking at, you know, his WAR number seems to be big these days, or their WAR number.
Well, Snell's ERA is 2.30. Verlander's 1.45. I mean, they have all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough. I mean, but Paxton could, if he keeps rolling like this, he can certainly get there. But all I'm saying is right now, I think Diaz is the only sure thing.
I agree.
Probably,
He's leading his.
And they deserve more than one, and they'll have more than one.
Well, those are.
Cruz is going to be a candidate the way he's playing.
If he stays hot, he definitely should be a candidate.
Who's a better DH?
Evan Gattis, apparently. Especially if 230 with 10 home runs.
If he winds up with 20 or 25 home runs by then, if he stays hot.
Well, like you said, J.D. Martinez, he's the one.
Yeah, right he now. Is.
All right, let's give you your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. Your pitching matchup is?
Mike Leake against, Jaime Barria?
Barria? Sure. No way! I heard you checking this out beforehand.
I know, but I can't remember.
It's one of those with just the one sticking the head the right way.
I know it's Jaime, but is it? I think it's Barria. Barria.
That sounds right.
Sounds good.
Sounds right. You're on board with that, Ashley?
It sounds right.
Okay.
He was having a dynamite year at 5-1 with a 2.48 ERA.
Yeah, well, so was the guy last night. He was crap.
He got lit up.
Tell us how you really feel.
He got lit up. All right, that's your pitching matchup brought to you by Heritage Distilling's BSB Brown Sugar Bourbon. So would you like to see LeBron do another TV special to announce where he's going? Talk about that next. And wait a minute, what with Bob Gross and Tom?
The first place Mariner.
It's Bob Gross and Tom.
Hold up. Hey, wait a minute.
What?
It is Wait a Minute What here with Bob Gross and Tom. Coming up at the top of the hour, El Hombre. Michael Bradley joins us on the program, and that is Radio Gold, so you don't want to miss that. Meanwhile, a couple of stories for you, and we touched on LeBron before about the idea of him doing a little special again to announce where he's going to go and all of that good stuff, and their Vegas odds, and I've seen Photoshop, many Photoshop pictures of him in a Lakers jersey. Those are everywhere.
He'd look good in one of those, don't you think?
I think he'd look good at any jersey. I mean, he's going to be an asset no matter where he goes.
Do you think he wants to be in the...
What about a Kings jersey, though?
Nah.
Or a Bucks jersey? Nah. Or a Hornets jersey?
Nah. Those would be the most stunning choices. A Pelicans jersey?
You know what? Even a Houston
that would
jersey.
Be lousy, too.
As good as Houston is, it just lacks sizzle to me. Yeah, depends on what he's after.
Is there room for him, Harden, and Chris Paul?
I didn't think there was room for Harden and Chris Paul. You're going to put LeBron in there? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But the odds are out there, so of course Vegas is getting in on this, right? So,
hey, I'm going to Vegas. You guys want some action?
No, I want action on...
Over-under on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah. What was that number again?
I'm guessing it's 8.5.
Oh, you don't know. Okay.
No, I'm guessing. I'll let you know for sure.
Okay.
8.5. I like that number.
Which part do you like?
I'm taking the over.
Under. The over or the under?
Under.
You're taking the under on 8.5 wins for the Seahawks?
I like 8, but yeah.
Why do you hate them?
Well.
All right. Well, we can get into that later. But as far as the odds on where LeBron James is going to land, here are some of the odds that are out there. Lakers are favored 7-4, Graz.
Okay. 7-4. That's weird.
I still don't get these numbers. The Sixers behind them at 11-5. Why can't
it's
it
basically
just,
2-1.
Can't you just go 2-1, 3-1, 4-1 and just work your way down like
you
that?
You can, but they're being super accurate there.
Okay. All right. So Lakers first, Sixers second, the Rockets are third at 5-2, and then the Cavs are 5-1 behind them. Then the Spurs at 8-1, Celtics 12-1, Warriors 30-1, Knicks 30-1, and then the Heat 40-1.
When he walked off the court on Friday night, didn't he look like a guy who was not going back to Cleveland?
Hard to, I mean.
I know.
He didn't look happy, if that's the question you're asking.
Right.
I can't imagine why.
He did not look happy.
It's not the fact that they lost. It's the way they lost. And he's out there scoring 40, 50 points, and it's not making a difference. He appeared to be somebody who was frustrated is all. Right. Does he want to continue to do that?
Cleveland's got eight or nine of their guys under contract for next year. If he wants to do that, if he wants to get paid the most, they can pay him the most. His kids are in school there. The day after that, he was in Akron, his hometown, celebrating the opening of a school that he's financing.
By everybody's account, though, he's still got beef with the owner. That those fences have not been truly mended. Mm. So
yeah, but cashing those big checks has got to help.
Well, he's getting big checks, and all of his endorsements, and if he makes a few million less elsewhere in his world, is it does it matter? He's going to get more endorsements, perhaps in another market. I don't know.
All depends on how much you value money.
Yeah, I mean, if he can get, $201 million is what Steph Curry got.
Like
I think
that. Get a little bit. It's more than that now.
Yeah, I think Curry signed $201 for 5 years. I think was his deal. So let's just use that number. If he signed somewhere else for 5 years for $195, in his world, does that matter?
Maybe.
I don't. If you're just going dollar for dollar, probably not. Look, if he goes to the Knicks and they were to pay him less in salary, he can probably make that much more in endorsements just because he's there.
I love that, absolutely. It would be so awesome. I mean, no one thinks it. It'd be it's a million-to-one shot. It would be so awesome.
What, if he goes to the Knicks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What a jolt that would be. You want to talk about the NBA wanting something.
Oh.
If they could tell him to do something.
Happen.
It's like, hey, by the way, do the decision again and go to New York.
Do it again and go to New York.
They're doing the decision at Madison Square Garden. What could that mean?
Jeez. I think, and see if they got this bet out there, just whether he stays or goes. Do they just have a flat out stays in Cleveland or goes out, like take the field versus Cleveland type of bet? Because I think he's leaving. I don't know where he's going to land, but I'm going to bet that he's gone. That's just my thought. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Okay.
Hey, can we do some of these Tiger Woods prop bets?
Yeah.
Speaking of Vegas.
Yeah. I deliberately didn't show them to you here. I want to just.
Yeah, I was searching through the pile going, I didn't get that.
All right. Couple of questions. Will Tiger Woods make the cut at the U.S. Open?
Yes.
I'm going to say the odds are in favor of that.
Okay.
What are they?
They just give me the money lines.
That's okay.
Yes, 500, minus 500. No, plus 325.
So he's favored to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to bet 500 to win 100. If you're betting him to make it, you bet 325. You bet 100 and you win 325 if he doesn't make it.
Will Tiger Woods win the U.S. Open?
No.
No.
Yes, plus 1,600.
So if I bet 100, I'd win 1,600?
He's about 16-1 is what that tells you, which is low.
Will Tiger Woods finish in the top five?
No. I'd love him to.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. Will Tiger Woods finish in the top 10?
Maybe. Mm.
Will Tiger Woods finish in the top 20?
Yes.
That
he'll finish in the top 20?
Yeah. What's the
top 20, yes, is plus 130.
Plus 130.
So it's about almost even money.
Yeah, roughly.
So you bet 100, you win 130?
Yep. Top 10 is only 230, so.
2-1.
Yeah.
Very poor value on those bets.
Will Tiger Woods shoot under par in round one? No.
No.
Not at Shinnecock.
What are the odds?
Oh, yes, plus 120.
You know whose odds I'm interested in, and I know you don't have them there because it's a Tiger Woods thing, is Bob's boy Phil Mickelson.
Mm.
He still hasn't won an Open.
Actually, here you go.
Okay.
Will Phil Mickelson win the U.S. Open?
No.
Yes.
Yes, plus 3,000.
Woo! You bet 100 bucks, you win $3,000. Huh?
30-1.
You think he's going to win?
He hasn't won the U.S. Open yet. This is a course where he is beloved. He'll have the fans behind him.
How's he played here?
He played there well the last time. He played pretty good the last week in Memorial. It wasn't great, but played pretty good.
Okay.
I think he's a good long shot bet.
Who's Garrett Rank?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Will Garrett Rank make the cut?
Yes,
1,200. I don't know what that means. Will Tiger Woods shoot 78 or worse in any round?
That could happen.
That could absolutely could happen. 78's a good number.
I mean, it's the Open.
Yeah, right. That's... They design those courses for those kind of scores.
Yeah, if he's having a bad day off the tee, he's doomed.
I'd bet no on that, but that's still not a great value.
When he has a bad day, that's a lot of times where it is with the driver.
What are the numbers on that?
No, minus 250. Yes, plus 200. So, meh.
Okay. All right.
Not going to go out of my way to bet that Tiger's going to shoot over 78.
All right, so for you gamblers out there, this was a very productive segment. We gave you a lot to work with there. Meanwhile, how would El Hombre feel about Bryce Harper in a Phillies uniform? We'll ask him. He's going to join us next year with Bob Gross and Tom.